I put it to you that one of the great ways of studying the Word of God, and there are several, but one of the great ways is to take the characters of the Bible, read their lives, and see the detail of their lives, see the principles that they lived by and served by, the truths that motivated them. And I know that you're very familiar with well-known people of the Bible. But I also put it to you to look out for those who are not so well-known, because we learn that there is a tremendous wealth of teaching that we can gain from reading whatever's recorded of the lesser-known people of the Bible. We have come to one this morning in this reading, and her name is Hagar. Now, you might say, well, she's not that unknown to us. Probably not, because of her association with Abram, or Abraham, as we'll call him, because his name was changed too in the next chapter, or the following chapter. But she's perhaps better known than some of the little-known people because of her association with Abraham and Sarah. But I was thinking of some words recorded of her some weeks back. And as I consider those words, we'll come to them later on in verse 13, where she said, "Thou God seest me." Those words gripped me in a remarkable way that led me to give more consideration to her life and to the lives of others. You think about that. Other people who could say, "Thou God seest me," in those particular circumstances in which they found themselves. But that'll become clear as we reach that particular verse, as we go down this chapter together. There are several things that I want you to notice about this woman Hagar that we read of in this chapter. The first is the marriage that involved her. And we read about that in the first four verses of this chapter. Now, it's a big thing for any girl to get married, but especially a handmaid, a slave, because that's, in effect, what they were. Now, how did this all come about? Well, there were a number of elements in this. First of all, with regard to this marriage that involved her, there was the impatience of Sarah. We've got to notice that. Notice what we read in verse 2. "And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing." So she acknowledged that whether children are born to a lady, a woman, a girl, or not, lies entirely with the Lord. She says, "The Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. So Abraham here was taking another wife, and Sarah was the instigation of this. And it was simply because of the impatience of Sarah. Now, God had promised, if you go way back, chapter 12, and you can find this right up to those intervening chapters, to chapter 16, God had made a covenant with Abraham that his seed would be plentiful in the earth, like the stars of the sky or the sand of the sea for number. But that was years ago and subsequent. And now there's no sign of that happening, no sign of the promise being fulfilled. And we learn that Sarah is getting very, very impatient. And so she suggests this to Abraham. There's no indication that a child was on the way, and she was getting older. She was about 75 years of age at this time, and Abraham was 10 years older. So you have the impatience of Sarah. That's a strand in this. That's an element. That's a factor. But there was also the compliance of Abraham. Now, he might, if we could put it this way, he might have known better. This man, remember, is the father of the faithful, known for his faith. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11, that he went out not knowing whither he went when he left the Ur of the Chaldees. He went out not knowing whither he went, other than God said he had to go. He was a man of great faith. But in this particular instance, his faith seems to have weakened somewhat. And he was getting very impatient, surprisingly so. So there was the impatience of Sarah, there was the compliance of Abraham, and then there was the expectance of a baby. Notice verse 3 and verse 4. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived a baby on the way. So soon after being wed to this woman, and poor Sarah had been married, we do not know how long, but certainly a long while, and no sign of a baby. And after all, they had been promised a baby by God himself. Now the baby was on the way, but Sarah was not going to be the mother. And by the way, this child who was to be born would not be the covenant child. God's promise to Abraham and Sarah would be fulfilled about 14 years later or so after the birth of this baby. Men and women and young people, let me say this to you. Whenever God gives a promise to us, he will keep his word, but not according to our timing. The same thing happened to Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were married. They wanted a baby. No doubt they prayed for a long time. But whenever Zacharias and Elizabeth were both old, and I'm sure you know the story, it's associated with the Christmas story. Whenever Zacharias was performing his priestly duties, God sent the angel Gabriel to come and tell him there was going to be a child born, and his name would be called John. Long, long years had intervened. In fact, it seems that Zacharias had stopped praying. And there was no word either to Abraham or Sarah from God, except the promise that God had given initially and renewed in years subsequent. So do not feel that God is not keeping his word whenever he keeps you waiting. There's a tremendous verse that has meant so much to me in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 3, where God says, the vision, and that word for vision is the word, the promise, is for an appointed time. At the end it shall speak and not lie. Even though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So learn that. If you strongly believe that God has given you about a promise about something that you have gone to him and prayed about, and it hasn't come to pass and years have gone by from it was given, don't lose heart. God will come through in his timing. So there was the impatience of Sarah. There was the compliance of Abraham. There was the expectance of a baby. And there was the insolence of Hagar. Notice the end of verse 4. This wee girl got very cheeky. We'll read all of verse 4. He went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Oh, you can get the situation right away. Sarah is hurt. And this new bride of Abraham's was rubbing the salt into the open and raw wound. She looked down her nose upon her mistress, upon Sarah. So you can see the situation there. What a situation that concerned that wee slave girl. The marriage that involved her. But I want you to notice, secondly, the misery that surrounded her. Verse 5. And Sarah said unto Abraham, or Abram here, my wrong be upon thee. Notice what has happened as we read on. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And then Abraham, he said, so we'll look in verse 6, the maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. See the situation here. Whenever a baby is on the way in a family, my, the joy that begins to well up. People can hardly wait for the day of the birth. The mother's getting ready. The father's getting ready. The grandparents, if the grandparents are still alive, the great-grandparents, if they're still alive, they're all looking forward to the time that that little baby was born, and it's happiness. But not in this family. Hagar, yes, she would be the mother of the child, so she would be happy in the anticipation. But not Sarah. Sarah would feel isolated. She was going to be deprived of motherhood, or so she thought. And then she took it out on her husband. She begun to blame him for it. This is what she's saying here in the fifth verse. My wrong be upon thee. So you can see the unhappiness, the misery in this home. And then if you notice the end of verse 6, and when Sarah dealt hardly with her. Whenever Abraham said, listen, she's in your hands, she's your maid, do whatever you have to do with her. Now, I don't believe for one minute that Abraham thought that Sarah was going to be cruel to her. But Sarah was very harsh. She dealt hardly with her. So she was most unreasonable. But you can see the tension that there was in that home. I want to say this to you, and young people especially. Beware of making wrong choices. They can turn out to be catastrophic. And beware of trying to hurry on God. It doesn't work out. There's inevitably unhappiness along the way. So I want you to keep these things in mind here. There's the marriage that involved this girl, and there's the misery that surrounded her. And I'm saying to us, every one of us, preacher included, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, we've got to use our understanding, but not in the last analysis. We think things through as best as we can, and we commit the situation to the Lord before we act. But don't lean on it. The Bible says the understanding is darkened. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Put him first. And he shall direct thy paths. Difficult circumstances for all. For Sarah, for Abraham, and for this wee mother-to-be, this wife and mother-to-be, Hagar. But I want you to notice the third thing about her, and that is the migration that displaced her. Notice what we read in verse 6 again. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Now, can you imagine that expectant mother and all the difficulties this is going to be for her over the months? We do not know how many months were left, how long she was able to tarry in that home. But the baby is growing every day, and the mother with it. And the mother now is evacuating or vacating the home. And where's she going? Well, we're told here in verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. She's homeless and in a wilderness, subject to the terrible arid conditions of the desert, the heat, probably frost by night, alone. Beasts of prey stalking the wilderness, her expecting a baby. So you can see the migration that disturbed and dislocated, displaced and disrupted this girl. And Abraham, too, was a problem. He's my husband, she might have said, but he's so unconcerned about all of this. And my mistress, Sarah, well, she has made life so difficult for me that I've had to flee. So there she is now, probably heading back to wilderness, back to Egypt through the wilderness. And that was quite a distance. What terrible circumstances for this woman. And you can see that she's disillusioned with it all. What she thought was going to turn out something special. She was going to be the mother of the baby, the wife of this mighty man, Abraham, and such security because he was one of the richest men in the East. It has all gone sour. And she's heartbroken, disillusioned. Any like that here today? Things look good and time's gone by. In fact, your joy knew no bounds. But circumstances have developed. Changes have taken place. And you've come into this service today, maybe with a broken heart. I want to say this to you. God knows exactly your circumstances. You might think nobody knows and nobody cares. But not so. God cares. He understands. It may be you're disillusioned with circumstances. It may be that you're disillusioned with places. It may be you're disillusioned with events that have happened. It may be you're disillusioned just with people. They've let you down. They have failed you. Hagar could empathize with you. And perhaps you in turn, because of your circumstances today, can empathize with this woman who lived thousands of years ago. Even though thousands of years have passed, some things never really change. Heartbreak's the same, no matter in what age you live in. Disappointment is no different now than what it was thousands of years ago. But I want to say something to you. These things can change. And we'll see now in a few moments that they did for this woman. And here's a lovely verse to go with it. And it's in Psalm 30. And you'll find it there in verse 5. And it says this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Think of that. You may be going through a night, and it may be a long night, but there's always dawn to follow the darkness. There will light come. And joy will come with it. Micah, in his prophecy in chapter 7, verse 8, said, when I fall, I shall rise again. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Think about that. You've come into God's house today with a heavy burden on your shoulders. It's not always going to be like that. The Lord knows your circumstances. And we see this as we come to the fourth and the last matter in the story. We've seen the marriage that involved Hagar and the misery that surrounded her and the migration that displaced her. I want you to see the manifestation that thrilled her. And we have that from verse 7 right down to verse 13. You notice the end of verse 6, she fled from her face. She fled from Sarah. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her. By a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And we are told that he began to speak to her. Verse 8, he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? Now I want you to notice, first of all, that this wee woman, this wee mother-to-be, this wee wife who has left the home, because of the hardship there. The angel of the Lord knows all about her. This is the Lord Jesus Christ here. Very often he's known as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. First of all, he saw the locality in which she was. And you were to find her. We are told there she's by a fountain of water in the wilderness, in a particular road leading to Shur, and that's heading away down toward Egypt. The Lord knew where to find her. Try to imagine her. She's gone on as far as she can. She's tired. She's carrying a wee baby within her. She's hungry. She's thirsty. She may be afraid. She's exhausted. And she comes to this little oasis, a wee fountain, but it's fresh water. She lies down to take a rest. And the Lord Jesus comes by. He knew exactly where she was, where she could be found. He knows where you can be found today with your difficult circumstances. He knows just the place that you're at. In fact, his eye has been on you all the time that you've got to the place where you're at. He knew her locality. Not only did he see her locality, but he saw her difficulty. He knew that that woman was exhausted. He knew that she was upset. He knew that she was displaced. He knew that she had felt herself that she had to leave that unhappy home. He knows all about the circumstances that have brought you to your period and place of disillusionment. He knew not only the locality, he knew not only the difficulty, but he knew her identity. Look at the way he addresses her. Verse 8. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid. Oh, he knew everything about her. Knew her name. Knew where she was. We have seen that. Knew her difficulty. Knew where she had come from. Knew the family connections. And God knows all about you too. He knows your name. He can identify you and your associates. But he knew something else about her. He knew not only the locality and the difficulty and the identity, but he knew the honesty about this girl. He asked the question there in verse 8. He said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? He says, where are you coming from and where are you going? And notice the answer. She said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. She didn't try to cover up. She didn't try to excuse herself. She said, I'm under a mistress. I'm fleeing from her. She didn't say why at that particular stage, but she just was open and honest. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Whenever we're between a rock and a hard place, whenever we have left something behind that we find has been very difficult, and we look into the future and we see that that's foreboding as well, we're in the middle of it all. Let's be honest with Christ when he begins to question us. You remember he said something like that to Elijah. Whenever Elijah had fled from Jezebel and found himself under the juniper tree and then into the cave at Horeb, the Lord said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And now this is what the angel is saying hundreds of years previous to that. What are you doing here? Where are you coming from? Where are you going, Hagar? So she was very honest with him. You be honest with the Lord as well. Let me in my difficult circumstances be honest with the Lord as well. Nobody else need know. These things are intimate between the individual and the Lord. But notice verse 9. He said something else that tells us something about the knowledge of the angel of the Lord and the circumstances of Hagar. He saw her responsibility. Verse 9, the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. That was God's will for her. Don't be going on, Hagar. You just go back and submit yourself. No matter how hard things are there, go back. That is your duty. That is your responsibility. And place yourself under the authority of your mistress. may not have been easy. And it may not be easy for you or for myself. If we are in difficult circumstances, we need to examine ourselves. You remember what we read in the book of Lamentations. Let us search and try our ways and return unto the Lord. Go back. It may be that the fault is not all somebody else's. It may be the circumstances that we are in, we're partly to blame ourselves. And it may not be an easy thing to go back and face the matter. But it will be God's will. Maybe God's will. And if so, there'll be joy at the end of it. You see, the manifestation that warmed her heart, that thrilled her heart, the Lord saw her locality, her difficulty, her identity, her honesty, and her responsibility. Go back, he said, submit. And for us, go back and whatever we have to make right, let's make it right. It's not always easy, but oh, the peace that comes into the mind and the heart. If we have wronged somebody and we have to put it right, let's do it. But there's one other thing. Not only the locality and the difficulty and the identity and the honesty and the responsibility, but look at the posterity here. Notice what the angel said to her, what the Lord Jesus said to her. Verse 10. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. So that wee baby she was carrying, that was the firstborn. There will be others. This is what the Lord's saying to her. You're going to be the mother of more children than this one that you're carrying now. He says, I'll multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. You're going to be the mother of a great race of people. And then he says in verse 11, the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child. Well, she knew that, but he knew it too. That again would have warmed her heart. This being knows so much about me, and she perceives that he is the Lord. She recognizes that this is the Lord. She was brought up for many years in Abram's house. She would have known the Lord in some measure. The angel said, verse 11, thou art with child, and shall bear a son. Not everybody knows what gender the child is going to be. These days, I understand you can know, but that's only in modern times. Way, way back, maybe 40, 50 years ago, or less a period than that, you never knew. But you can know now. But in Bible days, God knew, told the woman, and told the very name that the child was to be called by. Thou shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. That name was given specially to suit her circumstances. And notice what the Bible says, what the Lord says. The Lord hath heard thy affliction. Afflictions have a voice. And my dear friend, you may be suffering some adversity and affliction today. God hears the voice that they have. You may not know it, but the affliction can have a voice that God hears in heaven, as well as hearing your prayers. God knows all about it. And so this is what he's saying to her. Your posterity is going to be large. The baby that you're bearing is a son, and his name is to be Ishmael. What a meeting. And that woman said, notice verse 13, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. Not only the angel of the Lord here. Notice the capital letters, L-O-R-D. That's the covenant name for God in the Bible. Every time you come across in the Old Testament the word Lord with capital letters, that's the covenant name, Jehovah, that God's in covenant with his people. And she says, thou God seest me. What comfort and joy. God, who I've heard of from Abraham and Sarah, you're actually speaking to me now. You're talking to me, and you've seen me. You know all about me. You see me now. What comfort for her. What a manifestation. And notice what we read. Verse 15. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. She went back home. We do not know what the circumstances were, but she went home. She went home under the guidance of God. She was told the child's name would be Ishmael. No doubt she would have told Abraham that. And Abraham acceded to the will of God, and that child was called Ishmael. And we don't read anything more in this chapter except that Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Worked out well for the time being. Thou God seest me. Would you take comfort in that? As you think of the life of this lesser known woman, Hagar, and all the circumstances that surrounded her, the difficulties that she met with, God was in it. The Lord beheld her. The Lord turned her back. He watched her fleeing from Sarah right away down south toward Egypt. Saw her under the at the fountain there, resting. Maybe weeping, thinking over all the difficulty of the past and what she anticipated in the future. But the Lord's eye was upon her. He ministered to her. He spoke to her. Turned her right round. Faced whatever difficulty there would be. But all the joy that came as a result of it. May God help us if our circumstances are bleak today. If there's disillusionment or disappointment, let us do what God wants us to do. If it's to sit it out, if it's to put something right and go back, if it's to go on, let's do what He wants us to do. And we'll find that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank You for this story, for all the instruction that's in it. And we pray that we will take it to our hearts and our minds and our wills. May we do what we have to do, whether it's to sit tight, whether it's to go back and put something right, or even to go forward in Thy will. May we do what You want us to do, and we know that it will work out right and proper at the end. Bless Thy truth to us in Jesus' name. Amen.